This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Info, and this afternoon I'm joined by Liberty Poley, who is a House District 40 candidate in this upcoming primary election. Liberty, you're joining us on the phone. Hello, nice to speak to you.
Hi, Kate. It's so nice to hear from you.
And maybe you'd just take a moment to explain where you are and what you're doing.
Well, I've been doing ministry work for the last about a month and a half, actually, and it's been a lot. Lately, the last week I've been doing a kids camp up in Michigan with kids from Kentucky who are from the poorest region. So it was really cool to see them grow with the Lord as a Christian. And it's really hard to step away from the campaign from so long. But these things that I'm working on out here have been for the eternal cause, which is a priority. But it's still difficult. But thanks to modern technology and such, it was easy to continue engaging with future constituents, hopefully, about issues and get the word across about my campaign.
So you are young, Liberty. You are 22 and you have just graduated. Would you like to tell me a little bit about why you decided to run for such a position as House District 40 right now?
Absolutely. So I just graduated with a bachelor's in history as well as one in political science. And I'm running because we need representatives with skin in the game. Wyoming is my only home. I was born and raised here. Therefore, I feel obligated to protect this one. We can't lose it. At 22 years old, I will still face the consequences of today's government in 50 years, likely. You know, these older generations that yield a lot of the power now, they'll be long gone and they won't see the repercussions of today's decisions. But these younger people, like such as my generation and generation Gen Z, we still have a long way ahead of us to face the consequences of our decisions today. So that's a big part of the reason why I'm running. I also look through Western civilization and see a tradition of only until about 100 years ago, it was normal for people my age to run and seek office. If you look through history, examples are like King Solomon was, I believe he was 20 years old when he became a ruler in Israel, in ancient Rome. Caesar's son, legal heir, Caesar Augustus, was 21 years old when he became one of the leading powers in Rome across the Mediterranean from there. Cleopatra was also 21 years old when she became a ruler, and she's a renowned ruler, you know? And if you look at ancient Greece, Alexander the Great was much younger, and he's one of the greatest rulers of all time. He was 14 years old when he became a ruler in Greece. And if you look at the American founding, a lot of the signers of the Declaration were under 30 years old. Queen Elizabeth I was one of the best queens in English history. I mean, she cultivated their golden age, and she was 25 years old when she took the throne. I don't see age as a hindrance in my campaign. I think it's good for younger people to step up and take the responsibility.
So you've answered my question really about answering why, you know, people who may be concerned about your age being an issue. But you have an academic understanding of politics because you've studied that as part of your college education.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you say to people who say, great to all of those things, but you have very mm-hmm. little real world experience? You've not been in the kind of the knockabout world of a professional life. You've not run a business. You've not had 5, 10, 15 years of a career and so on. How do you think that could give you that you would still be able to function in this role effectively without those things?
Yeah, thank you for following up on that. I've spent my whole life dedicated to fighting for Wyoming liberty. I may only be 22 years old, but I remember every election year throughout my whole childhood was spent campaigning for the most conservative candidates in Wyoming. My parents were both very politically active. A lot of people know them for that. And I've served as a precinct woman in Johnson County since I was old enough to run at the age of 18. Back in 2020, I was first elected. I was reelected in 2022. And back in February, I was elected to go and represent Johnson County and the Wyoming Republican Party at the Republican National Convention, which I will be doing this week. I was glad to choose to help collect signatures on the ballot petition to reduce our property taxes back in December. And I knocked on hundreds of doors back in 2021 during the sales tax initiative. If you remember that special election tax, I was out there all summer long trying to get the word across, and nobody ever paid me a salary for that then. And my values can't be bought now. I may be young, but I have a lifetime of a short lifetime of history working with the issues in Wyoming and seeing small changes and helping form the governance that we see, even just from the small ways that I was able to do so. I think that's really important, is a history of volunteering to serve in the community before stepping up.
So you describe yourself as a very conservative candidate. Of course, this is the primary election. It's the Republican primary election. What can you describe to voters, potential voters, about your particular brand of conservatism?
I abide by the party platform. I look at the party platform as different organs of one functioning body, and the spirit that breathes within that body is liberty.
You're well named Liberty.
Thank you.
So the Wyoming Republican Party is fractured, and that is really from top to bottom, and it shows up in all sorts of ways. It showed up strongly in the last legislative session, where there was a lot of stalemate and stagnation. And two groups seem to have emerged, the Wyoming Freedom Caucus and then another group that are sort of basically not the Freedom Caucus, who have called themselves sometimes the Wyoming Caucus. Do you align yourself more or less with either one?
I wouldn't align myself with either necessarily, because I'm running to represent the people of Johnson County, not a caucus. However, I would probably vote more along the lines of the Freedom Caucus. I am very conservative, traditional conservative in that sense.
So could you give me an example of what you mean by traditional conservative? It's a term that's bandied around quite a bit, and I'm not sure it's always clear to the electorate what exactly a candidate is saying and meaning when they use those words.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I believe that conservatism is conserving the tradition. You see, wisdom is founded on experience, and if we look to history, we can see the wisdom from the lessons of the past. And progressivism is when you want to apply a solution that hasn't been tried before, and we're unaware of the consequences that could come from that. An example would be like in 2020, the COVID pandemic, okay? There were so many different things happening, and it was so sudden. We didn't know how to handle it necessarily. But now if there's a pandemic in 10 years from now, we could practically look back to the wisdom that we've gained from the 2020 pandemic and apply it to future issues of how we can use that knowledge. I believe that conservatism is taking the wisdom of the past. I think history is vitally important. I've studied history. I've studied Wyoming history. I've worked in Wyoming history. And there's so much to learn about the difference between virtue and corruption in governments by looking to the past. And that's what the American founders did when they formed our Constitution. They were looking at the fallen empires from before, like Rome and Greece, and what caused the demise of those societies, and how can they form a constitution that is healthy enough to withstand the test of time and the test of human nature.
The Wyoming Republican Party, as I mentioned a moment ago, is increasingly divided, and the last legislative session demonstrated that it's becoming increasingly difficult to actually move things forward and to govern. It was beset with division, fractious natures, and so on. And one of the results of that is not only that legislation does not move forward, it becomes stagnant, but that also voters get weary and they don't like the fighting, they don't like the division, and they don't like some of the tone in which, you know, some members have been addressing one another. And it just makes them want to tune out. And it also probably dissuades good individuals from wanting to stick themselves up like you have and say, I want to serve. Entering, if you were to enter into this body, what would you do to try to unify the divisions and to build back cohesive unity and harmony within the Republican Party?
That is so important. I think, first of all, communication and actually listening to the other side is, it sounds like a simple answer, but the truth is a lot of our problems is a lack of listening to each other. And while I certainly have my morals and my values that I stand on and I do not vary from, I'm always willing to hear other opinions and try to find a common ground. We were formed to be a republic, which means it comes from the Latin stem res publica, which is common good. It's trying to find the common good for everybody, which often involves sacrifice from each individual, because all of our wants are going to be different. But if we can sacrifice to find the common good, then we have the best possible solution for everybody.
Another word that comes to my mind when you say that is the need for compromise and collaboration.
Yes.
Moving on to an issue that voters care about very much right now, and that is property tax reform. High property taxes remain a burden on homeowners across the state, but especially in Johnson County, where we've seen a large influx of new people coming, increased property prices, and that has driven up the property taxation. What measures do you support to bring about tax relief to homeowners? It's obviously going to be tackled again in the next session. What would you support?
Well, as I said, back in December, I supported the ballot initiative to reduce the assessed value of taxes by 50% for property taxes. And I was hoping that that would be on the ballot in this upcoming election. Unfortunately, it sounds like it won't be on the ballot until 2026. So I really hope we can find legislation before then. I thought it was really cool that in Wyoming, we're one of 28 states that has the ability to bypass the legislature when the legislature seems to be in a stalemate and can't really get by. And we can do a ballot initiative to propose legislation without them. However, if we can't get that fast enough, I would really like to see legislation done, and I would sponsor or co-sponsor legislation that has a freezing period of, after say 20 years of ownership on a home, it freezes the value of the assessed property taxes. That way it's not continuing to rise for these people that have lived in their homes for ages and ages and ages, and they have these property taxes continuously rising, and they're retired and they're living on a fixed income, so they're struggling to get by. And I've heard of so many people in Wyoming, older people that are being forced out of their homes because they can't afford to maintain their property taxes. So I would really like to see something like that done. And another thing I think would be great is if the ballot initiative, if that statute isn't until 2026, if we could take something similar and try to propose it sooner, I would really like to see that happen, and I would be willing to sponsor or co-sponsor legislation that can make that happen.
One question that people have asked around that 50% reduction issue is, okay, I like the idea that I pay 50% less in my property taxes, but what is going to happen to the services that I rely on and I think are important? Is there going to be sufficient money to fund those services at a level which is acceptable? Do you believe that that would be the case?
Yes, absolutely. So I looked through our budget. We have over $300 million in reserves. And back in Cowboy State Daily mentioned in an article that we have over, I believe it was $876 million of a surplus in our budget. And there's so much money. You know, we actually are not in a financial situation where we have to choose between funding education and cutting taxes. We can actually find that compromise and both fund our schools with the same amount and have the same quality education while also cutting taxes.
Moving on, the high cost of housing is another significant issue which is particularly facing this district. And it is challenging in many ways the well-being of Johnson County because employers, both in our large employers like BLM, the hospital district, school district, etc., report difficulties in recruiting good staff, but also so do small businesses and smaller employers. And it's a double-edged sword for them because there's the cost of housing and living, which is really making it very difficult for them to find good employees who will stay and can afford to stay. It's not just a situation which is isolated to this part of Wyoming. Many Wyoming communities are grappling with it. What solutions do you have to tackle this and make sure that Johnson County doesn't lose out to other communities?
So you're asking about rising levels of living costs,
the housing,
right?
Crisis. So
housing.
We have two issues. One is that housing is very expensive, so therefore you need to have a higher wage to be able to afford the housing, even if there's availability of a house that you would like to purchase.
Yeah, and that's a difficult topic. I believe that the government, a lot of times when it tries to fix economic issues, it ends up only breaking the problem worse. We've seen that happen so many times, and history teaches. I'm more for a free market economic situation where things will naturally rise and hopefully naturally fall and fluctuate on their own. And that way they naturally stabilize, whereas when government tries to address the issue, a lot of times it ends up causing larger damages in the long run. So I believe that particular issue, as far as a market goes, should be left to the free market for them to decide.
So you don't think that there is any role for elected officials to encourage, motivate, incentivize, or support solutions to this problem? You think it's just all free market economy?
I would have to do more research on potential ways that we can maintain the free market while also perhaps incentivizing or offering, incentivizing in order to maintain and control the issue.
Wyoming, and unfortunately Johnson County in particular, continues to experience real challenges in meeting mental health care needs for citizens. We have horribly high suicide rates, and the demand for mental health services is very high, and those services, indeed right now, cannot meet the demand. What, if any, measures do you support for this, for Johnson County, and for community members who may be struggling with poor mental health? Is there any role that government has in alleviating the burden?
Absolutely. I mean, I went to high school in Gillette, so I saw just an atrocious amount of the consequence of this issue. And it's really near and dear to my heart of how detrimental this is to our society. And hearing Natrona, I believe, was rated recently as the fourth highest suicide rates in the world, not even the country, but the world. It really hurts to see how much pain that's causing in our state. And it's difficult. And when we look, I believe Wyoming doesn't have a single, I could be wrong about this, but last I checked, Wyoming doesn't have a single suicide rehabilitation center. And I know people who have gone to those and seen tremendous improvement from those. And honestly, were cured and found a new purpose of life. And that's a really difficult topic. And again, I think that's something worth government investing in, because it is a need for all of our citizens. It affects everybody. I don't know if I know anybody in Wyoming who hasn't seen some sort of effect from the suicide crisis. So I believe that it would be worth investing in, but I'm not sure if it would be worth, it would be worth investing in for sure, but I'm not sure the exact legislation that could be done to help that issue at the moment. I do know that I think I fundamentally believe that education can help instill a purpose to someone's life. If you look at education from its roots, it was created to give people purpose. Plato, the ancient philosopher, he considered it a way of creating a well-rounded soul and someone who understands themselves and understands their role in society and their importance. They're far less likely to battle with these struggles. So I believe that increasing, not that we have a bad quality of education, it's hard to say that too, because I went through the school system and I saw a good quality, but I think it's really important to instill a sense of purpose in our youth and in our citizens all the way through at every stage of life as best as we can. And I think that that really starts with community and reaching out at the local level.
Thank you. So you're talking about important issues. For you, Liberty, what are your three most pressing issues should you become elected as the House District 40 representative?
Well, first and foremost is definitely property taxes, which I've already harped on that quite a bit, but it is the most pressing issue in the state for everyone right now, I believe. Secondly, would be preventing this woke movement from seeping into our schools. I know it's easy for us to say, like, that's not happening in Wyoming, that's not happening here, but it wasn't that long ago that I was in high school, and I can tell you that it is happening here, and our kids are confused, and it's really hard to see, and this is just a morph of objective truths that
could you explain what
are
you,
in society.
What do you mean by woke? It may be a word that some people have heard, but they may not really understand what you mean by that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Woke is a term that is, it's kind of a blanket statement to cover all gender ideology or transgender confusion happening in society or any kind of, proper terms, but basically the sexual confusion happening, especially in my generation today.
And so what do you think is the role of schools, what would be the appropriate role of schools to counter what you see as a negative movement?
I think the proper role of schools is to have absolutely nothing to do with it and not push it on children and not affirm or necessarily deny, just not affirm students who are suddenly saying that they're a cat. That's just not reality. We shouldn't be encouraging our students to say, I'm a cat, give me a litter box. And I know that that sounds ridiculous, but it's happening in America. There are students who are so confused that they think that they're an animal and they're old enough to know that they're not playing pretend, like high schoolers crawling around on all fours in high schools across the country. And there are places that are putting litter boxes within the schools. People who I know who are teachers in different parts of the country have told me that in the schools that they work at, they've seen litter boxes, which is just absurd that we even need to talk about that. But it's true. It's really happening. And I think that it's a true concern for society. And like I said, we already have such a high mental health crisis in Wyoming. I think it would be absolutely detrimental if we continue to affirm these ideologies within our schools.
So why is that the role of government? The Republican Party is the party of less government, not more. Why should the government get involved in those things?
Well, if the school is getting involved in those things and it is a government organization and it is choosing to affirm these children's beliefs, then it therefore is involving itself. So I'm saying that we need to stop involving ourselves in that, stop encouraging that, and retract our involvement.
So you've mentioned two of your priorities, property taxes and anti-wokeism, so to speak. I hope I'm not putting incorrect words in your mouth there. What would be your third issue?
My third issue is preventing the federal overreach from the federal government. I believe that it's the state legislature's not only right, but duty to stand against federal overreach. Nobody else can truly protect our constitution like the state legislatures, and that's federal constitution. when they create laws that they don't have the power to do so by the Constitution, when it's arbitrary authority that they're taking from the states based on the 10th Amendment, it's the state's right and duty to stand up and say, you can't do that. That's our right, because self-governance is so important to our society. It was our country was founded on self-governance, because the government that is closest to you is the government that is most responsible, or it's the government that you have the most accountability over. Like the county government, they're your neighbors. You can go knock on their door, you know? And the state government, you know them. They're not that far off, especially in Wyoming. But the federal government, they're thousands of miles away. They don't know us. So why should they have so much arbitrary authority over us, especially if it's not enumerated within the Constitution? So I think that as a state legislature, it's extremely important to be able to stand up to the federal government.
Is there any one particular issue that comes to mind when you're speaking to that? Is there something that is potentially coming towards us that you would like to see turned around?
Well, especially with the recent coal ban, I believe it's in 2040, they want to shut down all private or all public mines in the state of Wyoming. And we need state government who will stand up against that and say, no, our economy is dependent on that. Our people are dependent on that. We need a state government who's willing to fight for us on that issue.
Liberty, we've covered a lot of issues that are on voters' minds. In closing, is there anything else that you would like to add? Are there any points or remarks that you would like voters to know about you?
Well, I'm from Wyoming. I care about Wyoming. It's deeply ingrained in me. The Wyoming way is not just an idea to me, but it's a part of me in ways that I can't fully comprehend. It's something that I'm extremely passionate about protecting. Our Constitution is something that I'm extremely passionate about protecting. I studied history, as I mentioned before. I'm a historian, and I believe that that's so important for government to understand history and to have representatives who can look to the past and see what worked and what didn't, so that you can know the wisdom of the conserved tradition in order to apply it to the future and be able to maintain this tradition for years on.
Liberty Poley, candidate for House District 40, thank you very much for explaining your platform and your candidacy for the upcoming primary election. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Kate.